නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 2, Daksha curses Lord Shiva, verse number 35. Aplutyava britam yatra Ganga Yamuna Yanvita විරජේනාත්මනා සර්වේ ස්වම් ස්වම් ධාම් යයුස්තත ආපුල්ත්‍යාව භ්‍රිතම් යත්‍ර ගංගා යමුන යාන්විත විරජේනාත්මනා සර්වේ ස්වයම් ස්වම් ධාම යයුස්තත ආප්ලූත්‍යාව බ්‍රිතම් යත්‍ර ගංගා යමුන යාන්විත විරජේනාත්මනා සර්වේ ස්වම් ස්වම් ධාම යයුස්තත අපුර්යාවතම් රත්ත අපුර්යාතයවෘතම් යත්‍ර ගංගා යමුනා යාන්විතා විජේනාත්මනා සර්වේ ස්වම් ස්වම් ධාම යයුස්තත ප්ලුත්‍යාවතම් රත්තා ගංගා යමුන යාන්විතා රජේනාත්මනා සර්වේ සම් සම් ධාම යයුස්තත ආප්ලුත්‍යාවෘද්ධිතම් යත්‍ර ගංගා යමුන යාන්විත ප්‍රජේනාත්මනා සර්වේ සම් සම් ධාම යයුස්තත යමුනා සන්විතා විරජේනාත්මනා සර්වේ ස්වම් සම් ධාම යයුස්තත මාතාජී මංගලයි ඔබ ගඩිද නැහරි ගඩි ගඩි ආපුල්තය taking a bath Avabritam, the bath which is taken after performing sacrifices. Yatra, where? Ganga, the river Ganges. Yamunaya, by the river Yamuna. Anvita, mixed. Virajena, without infection. Atmana, by the mind. Sarve, all. Swam, swam, their respective. Dhamma, abodes. Yayu, went. Tata, from there. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Vidura, carrier of bows and arrows, all the demigods who were performing the sacrifice took their bath at the confluence of the Ganges and the Yamuna after completing the yajna performance. Such a bath is called avrata snan. After thus being purified in heart, they departed for their respective abodes. Purport. After Lord Shiva and previously Daksha left the arena of sacrifice, the sacrifice was not stopped. The sages went on for many years in order to satisfy the Supreme Lord. The sacrifice was not destroyed for want of Shiva and Daksha, and the sages went on with their activities. In other words, it may be assumed that if one does not worship the demigods, even up to Lord Shiva and Brahma, one can nevertheless satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 2, Kamas taistar hidaya jnana prapadyante anya devata. Persons who are impelled by lust and desire go to the demigods to derive some material benefit. Bhagavad Gita uses the very specific words, nasti buddhi, meaning persons who have lost their sense or intelligence. Only such persons care for demigods and want to derive material benefit from them. Of course, this does not mean that one should not show respect to the demigods, but there is no need to worship them. One who is honest may be faithful to the government, but he does not need to bribe the government servants. Bribery is illegal. One does not bribe a government servant, but that does not mean that one does not show him respect. Similarly, one who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord does not need to worship any demigod, nor does he have any tendency to show disrespect to the demigods. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 23, it is said, Ye api anya devata bhakta yagyate shraddhan yan vita. The Lord says that anyone who worships the demigods is also worshipping him, but he is worshipping avidhi purvakam, which means without following the regulative principles. The regulative principle is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Worship of demigods may indirectly be worship of the Personality of Godhead, but it is not regulated. By worshipping the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves all the demigods, because they are part and parcels of the whole. If one supplies water to the root of a tree, all the parts of the tree, such as the leaves and branches, are automatically satisfied. And if one supplies food to the stomach, all the limbs of the body, the hands, legs, fingers, etc. are nourished. Thus, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can satisfy all the demigods. But by worshipping all the demigods, one does not completely worship the Supreme Lord. Therefore, worship of the demigods is irregular, and it is disrespectful to the scriptural injunctions. In this age of Kali, it is practically impossible to perform the Dev Yajna or sacrifices to the demigods. As such, in this age, Srimad Bhagavatam recommends Sankirtan Yajna. Yajne Sankirtan Prayer Yajyati Hi Sumedasha. Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Verse 32. In this age, the intelligent person completes the performances of all kinds of yajnas simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Tasmin Tuste, Jagat Tusta. When Lord Vishnu is satisfied, All the demigods who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord are satisfied. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Daksha Curses Lord Shiva. Om Agyantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse number 35. Translation: My dear Vidura, carrier of bows and arrows, all the demigods who were performing the sacrifice took their bath at the confluence of the Ganges and the Yamuna after completing the yajna performance. Such a bath is called avratasnan. After thus becoming purified in heart, they departed for the respective abodes. Hare Krishna. So we are reading this episode in which all the great sages, rishis, munis and demigods, they came together to perform this sacrifice. The sacrifice was for the welfare of all the people, the public, the masses. We see great people, they have always put efforts in giving benefit to others. Instead of trying to spend their time and efforts in for their own material or personal pursuits. That is one of the quality of greatness, which is called compassion. Compassion means you put effort to relieve others' miseries. To relieve our own troubles and miseries, we are always very quick. In fact, this whole creation, our body is made in such a way that we automatically defend ourselves. We automatically react in such a way that we are in a most comfortable state. Like our eyes will blink and etc. Our body reacts in defense, in putting ourselves in most comfortable stage. But compassion means that a person feels misery by seeing others in trouble. A person is unhappy because others are unhappy. And putting effort to remove troubles of others in a proper process is what these great personalities have been doing. Even a Vaishnava preacher is like that. With compassion in his heart, he tries to engage people in Krishna consciousness. Knowing that the miseries of public, miseries of people can be removed only if they serve Krishna. No other material activity can remove miseries. No process within the material modes can take a person above the material modes. It has to be a transcendental process connected to Krishna. Then only a person can get freedom from this miserable nature, material nature. So this yajna, which the demigods were doing, was also connected to Krishna. It was to satisfy Vishnu. The only purpose of any kind of sacrifice or any kind of activity should be to please Krishna. Then only it will purify the person who is doing it and purify the person for whom it is being done. Then only that activity will liberate. Otherwise the same activity will bound. In Krishna consciousness we are not changing the activity. We are changing the object of our activities. Whatever we do it for Krishna. Then that activity which was supposed to be a bondage actually liberates us. That is how we should dedicate our life in the mission of Lord Krishna. Whatever we are doing, we should continue to do, but it should be for Krishna. Of course, we should not do sinful activities. So that is yajna, that is sacrifice. Not just having fire and doing swaha with ghee. That is also yajna, that's called fire sacrifice. But when a person's life is such that all his activities are dedicated to the cause, to the mission of Lord Krishna, then that life is a yajna. This kind of fire sacrifice is not possible nowadays because of lack of brahmanas, pure brahmanas who can chant mantras, and lack of ghee, pure ghee, and so much auspicious paraphernalia. Those people who attempt to do such kind of yajnas in modern world, they actually cheat others. Some people do yajna for election, or some people do yajna when there is India-Pakistan match. That is not yajna. Yajna is for Vishnu, not for some cricket match. So we should be not getting attracted to such performances. So these demigods, they were doing yajna, and in between this this episode happened, Daksha got angry and he cursed Lord Shiva, he insulted Lord Shiva and he left the arena. Then Lord Shiva's followers cursed the Brahmanas, then the Brahmanas cursed Lord Shiva's followers, then Lord Shiva also left. And what happened to the yajna? It continued. This shows that the service to the Lord shouldn't be uninterrupted. When we are serving Krishna, there may be so many obstacles. It is very natural that in service of Krishna, in the material world, there are always obstacles. There are always sources of interruption. But the show should go on. The service should not stop. Our dependence on successful execution of any service should not be considered over some object or some personality. Our dependence on success is solely on Lord Krishna. And hence, even if we have less facilities or less hands, whatever mission, whatever service we are, whatever duty we are prescribed to do, we should continue. We should never stop thinking that I do not have enough facilities or I do not have enough help. We should try to do. It may be a bit of struggle. It may be less comfortable. But service should continue. Because Krishna's service is not dependent on anything. In fact, our efforts to serve Krishna with love, which is called bhakti, is an independent activity. Ahetuki apratihata. Ahetuki means causeless. Apratihata means uninterrupted. Causeless. Bhakti does not have a cause. Bhakti is not dependent on karma. Bhakti is not dependent on jnana. This means that the fruitive activity by which we get some profit or phala, and the jnana, the knowledge from the shastra or so-called other sources, are not necessary to serve Krishna, are not necessary to please and love Krishna. Bhakti is a natural constitutional activity of the jiva, of the soul, unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And for that, nothing is required. That's why it is said, Bhakti is independent. As Lord Krishna is independent. Krishna is Swarat. Swarat means fully independent, completely independent. Lord Krishna can do anything at any time. And we cannot ask why. That shows that he is independent. There cannot be any accountability to Krishna. Why did you do this? Why not this? Why did you do it now? What are you doing now? Why don't you do it now? This accountability is for jivas, dependent souls, not for Krishna. He is completely independent. He operates on his own sweet will. So that is how Krishna is Swarat. We cannot ask him why. Why you wear yellow dhoti, why not red dhoti? Or why not green dhoti? Or why peacock feather, why not crow feather or kabutar sparrow feather or some other feather? Or why flute, why not sitar or kartal? Or no, we cannot ask why. Why Mathura, why not Juhu? Why did you come to Mathura? Why Bengal, Navadeep? Why not Bombay? If he asks this why to Krishna, what will he answer? Meri Marzi, my wish. That is called Swarat. Swarat means he operates on his own wish. If we try to do that, we will be called whimsical. Because we are supposed to follow the rules and regulations of society, as well as the code of conduct as per Shastras, Dharma. We are supposed to follow it. We cannot imitate Krishna. When we do it, it would be whimsical. But Krishna is Swarat. Krishna wants, he can do anything. In the same way, bhakti, devotional service, transcendental loving service to Krishna is also Swarat, being non-different from Krishna. So this mercy, this causeless bhakti can manifest in anybody's heart without any cause, without any reason. It's free available. Free means you may try it and not get it. And also, you may not try it, but still get it. That is called free. Something is free means there is no dependence. Even if you try for thousands of years, you may not get bhakti. That is called free. And even if you do not try it, still you may get it. Free. Bhakti is free. Association of devotees is free. So that is called Swarat, independent. And this free, bhakti being free, and receiving bhakti is also on jiva's free will. Bhakti cannot be forced on somebody. We cannot force somebody to love Krishna. Otherwise preaching would be so easy. We'll just carry AK-47s and tell people, chalo, love Krishna, otherwise I'll shoot you. Right? Can we do that? If I bring a gun here and tell somebody, chalo, love Krishna. No, you cannot love Krishna on gunpoint. So this accepting devotional mercy is also by our free will. So this freedom which jiva has is very, very important. There's a difference between matter and soul, jiva. And that is this freedom. Matter doesn't have freedom. So by this freedom, one can serve Krishna. And using the same free will, one should continue to serve Krishna. Even if there are interruptions, even if there are obstacles, we should not lose hope and stop serving. In material world, all spiritual activities in history, if we see, have got interruptions. Even Srila Prabhupada's preaching movement had so many problems. Even our Radha Rasbihari Mandir took so many years to finally come to this shape. Way back, Prabhupada, 1972, they laid the cornerstone. Way back, Prabhupada saw the land. 1978, they opened up the temple. And in between, we know there is a good history. Prabhupada says it's worth writing a book, Hare Krishna Land Juhu History. There are so many obstacles, there are so many interruptions. But the show must go on. The service should go on. It should not depend on some objects or some personalities in such a way that Lord Krishna's service gets interrupted. Why? Because when we serve Krishna, then Krishna himself helps us. If you are doing some private enterprise, government may object. But if you are doing government's work, government will not object. Unless government is corrupted. So if you are doing Krishna's work, why Krishna will object? So we should be having this hope. We should be having this faith. We should be having this confidence. That if I am serving Krishna, Krishna is cooperating with me. Not only Krishna, 33 crore demigods will be cooperating with us. So we'll get more and more opportunities for growing up in Krishna consciousness. So we should never feel dejected if some success is not visible. Success is defined by us. Failure is defined by us. Krishna's pleasure is defined by Krishna. And in Krishna consciousness, success is equal to Krishna's pleasure. So even if we may not be visibly having some material results out of our service, but if Krishna is pleased, that is called success. For example, Srila Prabhupada, his first attempt of an organized temple was not in New York. It was in Jhansi. And materially it was unsuccessful. It didn't work out. Even though he got the place, but somehow the place was taken back. And he was again without any own place for temple. So it looks unsuccessful, but actually it's successful. Why? Because Krishna is pleased by that. So our success is Krishna's pleasure, not some material results. So even though we may work with the desire, with the inspiration of some material results, but we should understand, just our attempt to serve Krishna is itself successful. And this should give us hopes that we can continue to serve Krishna in spite of so many visible obstacles or failures. So in this yajna arena, even though Lord Shiva and Daksha, who are so great personalities, they left the arena, still the demigod continue. They continue to do yajna. The yajna didn't stop. Oh, Lord Shiva is not there. Let us stop this yajna. And when he comes back, we will continue it. Right? There is no interruption. They continued the yajna for years. Because to please Krishna, we do not require anybody else in between. Especially the demigods. The demigods are managerial representatives of the Lord. They are cooperative devotees of the Lord who help the Lord in managing the universal affairs. But when a jiva wants to execute devotional service, that is directly in the hands of the Lord, not in the hands of the demigods. For some material activity or for some fruits of karma or for existence in the material world or for maintenance of the body or for natural things, the jiva may have dependence on these managerial authorities. But for the soul to serve Parmeshwar, for jiva to serve Paramatma, Krishna, there is no dependence on the demigods. One can directly serve Krishna according to the process available and he can please Krishna. Demigods are not per se required to be worshipped in order to please Krishna. That is what we can learn from this verse. That is what we learn from Bhagavad Gita. Those people who claim or who think that they have to separately worship demigods also, अदरवाइज इफ डेमिगॉड्स नाराज हो जाएंगे तो हमारा विष्णु भक्ति नहीं होगा. मेनी पीपल आस्क दिस क्वेश्चन. नो, कृष्णा इज इंडिपेंडेंट, भक्ति इज इंडिपेंडेंट, भक्ति इज नॉट डिपेंडेंट ऑन द डेमिगॉड्स. एंड वी आर पार्ट एंड पार्सल ऑफ द लॉर्ड, वी कैन डायरेक्टली सर्व कृष्णा. वी शुड नॉट बी अफ्रेड ऑफ पावरफुल डेमिगॉड्स बींग अनहैप्पी विथ अस बिकॉज वी आर नॉट वर्शिपिंग देम, बिकॉज वी आर नॉट spending time in the sacrifices. We should not be afraid of that. Once we serve and take shelter of Krishna, then all obligations which a jiva has in the material world is being taken care of. Narad Muni says to Vyasdev that if a person completely dedicates his life in serving Krishna, then all his obligations and duties towards his family, parents, society, nation, pitra, demigods, sages, etc., etc., other well-wishers, it is all been taken care of. A person doesn't have to separately fulfill them. That is how a person can gain inspiration to become brahmachari. A brahmachari leaves his family, his duties, his so many things. Some of our brahmacharis in the temple, not only family, they have left bank loans and came here. That is illegal. Right? Illegal. Bank loans. Theek hai, parent will not shout, but bank will shout, police will come. But all these obligations are taken care of. I am not saying one should try to do that. But all these obligations are taken care of. All the so-called sinful activities involved in sacrificing one's obligation in service to Krishna are nullified by sincere service to Krishna. Of course, if somebody uses these words or this instruction of Bhagavatam and escapes his obligations in the name of Krishna, then he is caught into a sinful trap. One should not misuse philosophy to fulfill one's personal agendas, to fulfill one's personal motivation. So somebody who escapes his responsibilities and lives a life of irresponsibility, without responsibility, then escaping their responsibility will definitely affect him. So one should be very careful, not misusing the philosophy, not using the name of Krishna for one's laziness or one's escapism. So in other words, satisfying the Lord takes care of the whole material world. No obligations to any other living entity. Because Lord Krishna is the root of the whole material universe. And the other extreme, trying to satisfy everybody, trying to make everybody happy around us, is anyway impossible. We have so many stakeholders, so many people around us. It may be family, it may be society, it may be nation, it may be organization. There are so many people around us. And if we try to make everybody happy, only one thing will happen. What? We will be unhappy. Because it's not possible. And if you are serving Krishna, it's not required. That doesn't mean we live a life of a madman doing whatever we want. We have to follow etiquette, we have to follow rules and regulations. But the goal should not be satisfy A and B and C. The goal should be to please Krishna. Our character should be such that our actions, our behavior is pleasing Krishna. So when we please Krishna, automatically all the devotees around us will be happy. So we don't have to worry. Those who have motivations and ambitions, separatist mentality, different from the mission of the Lord, they only will be unhappy. Anyway, we don't have to make them happy. But those who are anyway connected and dedicated to the mission of Lord Krishna, they will be happy. They will be happy when Krishna is pleased. So following the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, our life should be dedicated to the mission of the Lord. In ISKCON, to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Whatever desires Prabhupada had for his devotees or for ISKCON, if somebody fulfills them, naturally others will be happy because they are also dedicated to Prabhupada. They also want Prabhupada's desires to be fulfilled. They also want Prabhupada's mission to be get forwarded. So that is how we should operate. That is how our lifestyle should be. That our all actions, even if they are material actions through some observer, those actions and the fruits of those actions should be dedicated to the mission of Lord Krishna. Then there will be no bondage. We will not be bound. So those who have material desires, they have less intelligence, they are lusty, they have lots of ambitions. It is said in Bhagavad Gita, they get attracted to demigods. Because they want some material benefits and they feel that by serving this or worshipping these demigods, their desires would be fulfilled. They develop faith and determination to worship these demigods. Nasti buddhi. We have recently finished this Sri Ganesh festival, or we have so many other famous temples all over India. Mumbai we have Sri Siddhi Vinayak, and we see so many people having so great determination and faith to visit and worship demigods. You know, every Monday night, if you see, so many people barefoot from, I see from Juhu, but maybe from Borivali or Chembur, they walk all the way for Lord Ganesh Mangalarti. So, and they're staying in Juhu, they don't come here. So we see the determination, the faith they have, this is inspired by Krishna himself. But basically because they have these material desires. And to fulfill those material desires, they are ready to go till all the length of austerities, till all the height of austerities. To fulfill these material desires. This is called fruitive activity. This is not called bhakti. Bhakti means there is no desire of anything in return. It is not a business. When Lord Narsingadev appeared before Prahlad Maharaj and killed Hiranyakashipu, after that Prahlad Maharaj offered obeisances to the Lord and pacified him. He was very angry. So out of love, Lord Narsingadev told Prahlad Maharaj that I am very pleased and happy with your devotional service. You please ask me some benediction. Ask me for some blessing. Whatever you want, I will give you. Prahlad Maharaj answered, my dear Lord, I am not doing a business with you. That I do nice service, then you as a master give me some nice lucrative offer or some nice benediction. That is master and servant with salary. I am not doing any business with you. So I don't want anything. Prahlad Maharaj had an opportunity to ask for Vaikuntha, liberation, kingdom, wealth, anything material. He didn't ask anything. Then Narsingadev said, "Are you something you should ask? Otherwise, mera naam kharab ho jayega. My name will be spoiled that I met Prahlad and I didn't give him anything. So at least for keeping my name, you should ask something. Something you should ask." Prahlad Maharaj didn't ask anything. When Lord Narsingadev insisted, then he said, okay, my Lord, if you want to give me something, please give liberation to Hiranyakashipu, my father. He was so envious of you that he tried to kill you. And please forgive him. Please give him liberation. See? This is the last thing a person would ask in the material world, to save his enemy. Narsingadev said, "Arey, that is already done. You don't have to ask. As soon as I touched him, he got purified. And I killed him, he got liberated. Not only he, all your 21 generations are already liberated. Ask me something which has not been done." See this? Then Prahlad Maharaj said, "Then, my dear Lord, please give me attraction and attachment. Please give me service to the lotus feet of Narad Muni. Because of him, today I am seeing you." He asking his Ishwar to give a benediction to serve his guru. Because of my guru today I am able to see you. So we see this was so pure, unmotivated, unalloyed devotional service. That's why every time we have a class like this, we have Prahlad Maharaj's name coming in. Right? Every speaker generally, he has to quote Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Why is he so famous? 5-year-old boy. Because he did such a nice service. He was so much dependent on Krishna. He was fully Krishna conscious. He was unalloyed. His service was uninterrupted. Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him so many times so that he stopped serving and chanting the holy names of Krishna, but he never stopped. So, this is how one service should be, uninterrupted. And not a business with the Lord. So these material desires and going to demigods is a fruitive activity. It's not bhakti. Bhakti means there is no fruits. No, there is no desire of fruits, material fruits. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, gain this philosophy, and we may stop worshipping demigods. But that doesn't mean we are out of the whole thing. Because demigod worship is being inspired by fruitive activity. It should not happen that we stop worshipping demigods and worship Krishna, but the fruitive mentality remains with us. The disease still remains. The fruitive mentality means we attempt to act in devotion for some material results. Though that is also recommended, that is also allowed. One can go to Krishna for even material fruits. In fact, that is how many people start coming to Krishna. It is mentioned that those who want wealth, those who have distress, those who are inquisitive, and those who have knowledge, such people are considered pious. And they come to Krishna. They are considered devotees by the Lord. But it should not happen that whole life we retain this fruitive mentality. Ye karenge, to ye milega. If I do this, I will get this. So let me do this. This is called fruitive mentality. It is okay to do such mixed devotional service in beginning stages. Because we are neophytes. But gradually, we should get purified of this. This is called karma mishra bhakti. This is called bhakti, but it's more dominated by fruits of bhakti. And gradually we should be completely purified of all this. We should not be serving Krishna for our pleasure. We should be serving Krishna for His pleasure. We should not be serving Krishna to gain something. But we should be serving Krishna to give Him. We should not be serving Krishna for our sense gratification. We should be serving Krishna for His sense gratification. We should not take darshan and enjoy the beauty of the Lord. We should come to the temple and give enjoyment to the Lord. He is the enjoyer. We are prakriti. He is Purusha. When Purusha comes in contact with prakriti, Purusha is supposed to enjoy. So it is very important that even if a person transits from demigod worship to worship of Vishnu, he should not continue to carry over this fruitive mentality. Doing devotional service for some material desires, for some material fruits. Eventually, by the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, by the process of chanting holy name, this should also get purified. And a person should come to level of pure devotional service. Unconditional, spontaneous service to the Lord. Anya abhilashita shunyam. That means no other desire. Only one desire. To please the Lord. Such service is always uninterrupted. Such service is always unobstructed. There, as I said, there may be visible obstructions. And a person has to maneuver through such obstructions. But service will not get interrupted. Finally, through all these obstacles and struggles, a person would become more and more serious, more and more determined, and more mature to serve Krishna. Struggles in devotional life should not be rejected for seeking comfort, comfortable situation in Krishna consciousness. We should accept those struggles. Lord is always protecting His devotees, and these struggles invariably they will come in everybody's life and they will help one to go forward in Krishna consciousness. So if it is anya abhilashita shunyam, then this interruption doesn't occur. Then a devotee can go on continuously serving Krishna. So these material desires and people with material desires, when they are provided faith on the demigods by Krishna, they worship the demigods. The faith is given by Krishna, but Krishna says this worship is not proper. Even though this worship is indirectly worship of Krishna. How? Because the results offered by the demigods are offered actually by Krishna. The demigods cannot offer results to their devotees directly. They are given that power by Krishna. But when demigods offer the results, then the results are temporary. And demigods only follow the rules. When results are offered by Krishna, they are not only permanent, but those results make sure that it doesn't harms a person's spiritual life or anybody's spiritual life. Demigods do not restrict their results in such a way. Whoever mechanically follows the rules and regulations, he is offered results by the demigods. Like if a terrorist kind of person comes and he has all the documents to seek a license for a car and he can drive the car, the license officer will have to give him because he has to follow the rules, the protocol, and he is producing all ration card and age certificate and all other certificates. So even though the person has a doubt, but within the law, he has to give him license for the car and he can use the car, misuse the car. In the same way, demigods follow certain rules and regulations. And if a devotee, even if he is asura, who can harm the whole world, offers himself, engages in those rules and regulations, demigods have to give benedictions. Like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, they worship Lord Shiva and Brahma respectively, and they were terrorists. They were more than terrorists. They were very high-fi terrorists. And they followed the rules and regulations, and Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma gave them benediction and made them more powerful, and they were terror for even Indra. They were terror for the whole world. Lord Vishnu had to come and kill. So demigods just follow the rules and regulations. They don't. They are restricted. They cannot see spiritual welfare of the person involved as well as the whole world. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna will offer benedictions to his devotees only if it is beneficial to him. If it is not beneficial to him, he will postpone it. Or he will fulfill it in such a way that the very desire, the very material desire is removed. Serving the demigods, even if we are opulent, even if we are successful, even if we are wealthy, the desire, the fruits, desire of fruits, those are not removed. Not that Ravana will offer worship to Lord Shiva and he will get a beautiful wife as well as the lust will go away. No, he'll get a beautiful wife also, he'll get money also, gold also, he'll get kingdom also, and lust and anger and greed will remain also. So that is not very highly beneficial. But serving Krishna, even if with a material desire, seeing the sincerity, Lord Krishna will not only fulfill those desires, but also remove the very root, also purify us. That's why it is mentioned here, when the demigods, after the yajna, took their bath, and they went back to their houses, their respective dhams, they went back purified. Coming in contact with Krishna gives purification. Because Krishna is pavitram, highly pure. There is no comparison. And when any jiva or anything comes in contact with such a pure object as Lord Krishna, that jiva becomes purified. Like water is there. If our clothes come in contact with good water, then our clothes become clean. Because water is a purifying agent. Or sun is there, it's a purifying agent. Wind is there. In the same way, Lord Krishna, when jivas come in contact with Krishna, anyhow there is a contact, there is benefit to the jiva. And if we come in contact favorably, according to the process of devotion, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, when we have darshan of the Lord, when we pay obeisances, when we chant Hare Krishna, when we hear about Krishna, when we have prasadam, we get purified. So this is not available with any other personalities, with any other demigods. A person is not walking towards spiritual path when he comes in contact with demigods. So worship of the demigods is considered not proper, not appropriate according to scriptures. And the other point is that according to the scriptures, worship or bhakti actually can be done only to Krishna, because the relationship between Jiva and Krishna is eternal. It's permanent. But not with the demigods. Jiva is naturally in his constitutional position part and parcel of Krishna. So being part and parcel of Krishna, the natural occupation of Jiva is to cooperate with Krishna. If you are part and parcel of a society or an organization, you are supposed to cooperate with the mission of the organization. In the same way, Jiva is naturally supposed to cooperate with Krishna. So that relationship is eternal. Hence bhakti to Krishna is eternal. And even demigods are part and parcel of Krishna. So when one serves Krishna, he automatically serves all the demigods. He doesn't have to separately execute any activities to please demigods. That is why we should be determined to only serve Krishna. And finally, as mentioned here, that yajna to the demigods is not possible in Kali Yuga. Hence, we are performing and we are requested to perform Sankirtan yajna, chanting the holy names of the Lord, and that gives pleasure and happiness to the whole world. That gives pleasure to Krishna, that gives purification to the person who is performing, that gives purification to the person who is hearing, and these vibrations contribute peace to the whole world. Hence we should accept this Yuga Dharma, Sankirtan Yajna, and dedicate our life for it. Okay, I will end here. Thank you very much. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Thank you, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.